When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you are a believer today, you are a masterpiece.
But Dr. Tony Evans says that the spiritual makeover Jesus gave us wasn't done to make us pretty, but productive.
Now all you got to do is learn to live up to the title, because that's who you are.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. People sometimes say, when they made you, they broke the mold. But Dr. Evans says that there is no mold, that each of us is a one-of-a-kind creation of God. Let's join him as he explains why that's significant when it comes to finding and fulfilling your purpose in life.
Today, we want to look at your uniqueness and your destiny. The concept of destiny fits all of us who are Christians. But you are uniquely designed for whatever God has for you. Now, there are certain things he has for us all. Certain things he wants to be true of all Christians. Our conformity to Jesus Christ, our spiritual growth, our obedience to the word. Those are things he wants for every believer. But then there are specific designations he has in mind for you. And we want you to not only do the general things that God has for us all, but the specific thing that he has designated as your assignment for your life. So we want to look at three things from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We want you to know who you are, we want you to know why you are, and we want you to know whose you are. Who you are, why you are, and whose you are. In order that through that you will discover your uniqueness as you proceed, no matter where you're starting from the day, to your road of destiny. Who are you? Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. So you are his workmanship. Now, in verse 8 and 9, he said, by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not according to works, so that no one should boast. So you are not saved by works. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't earn a relationship with God. All the religion in the world cannot bring you into salvation. You are not saved by works. He's made that clear. But you are his workmanship. The Greek word for workmanship is the word poema, where we get our English word poem from. And the word poema, translated workmanship, in that verse was used of a work of art. And that which would be known today, we would call it a masterpiece. A significant work of art. A significant structure, painting, or even poem that would be recognized for its unique construction. Who are you? You are God's masterpiece. You are his workmanship. You are his poema. You're his sonnet, if you will. You're not just ordinary. Because a poema was extraordinary. It was something that had something unique about it. Most people are not satisfied with who they are. But God wants me to tell you, based on his word, that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you are a believer today, you are a masterpiece. Now, you may not feel like it. You may not be treated like it. You may not view yourself as it, but that doesn't matter in terms of determining who you are. Masterpieces are, in fact, rare. You don't find a masterpiece on every corner. Masterpieces are viewed as rare. They're not ordinary. They're not just hanging out. They are special. You want to know how rare you are? Your fingerprints tell the story. God made you rare because he made you with your own set of prints that nobody else possesses. You are so rare, there is only one of you. That's why you cannot seek to be someone other than you, Because if you seek to be other than you, then you're not being you, and the person that you become already exists. So you don't want to be them, you want to be you, because if you're not you, then you don't know who you are. You become a confused individual. You were meant to be who you are because you were meant to be unique and distinct from anything other than you, so that you can be satisfied with you as God created and redeemed you, and you don't have to trade you so somebody else can try to be like you, because there's nobody other than the you you were made to be. As you are created and redeemed, you are rare. Your DNA tells the story. Not only are you rare, but because you're rare, you are special. Wherever you see masterpieces displayed, they're treated special. They're in glass cases, they're in special frames, if it's a picture, because they're treated special. Let me tell you, masterpieces are valuable. You can't find a cheap masterpiece. Masterpieces are costly because they have value. Psalm 139, 14 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are so valuable to God, he was willing to die for you. You don't get much more value than that. That the king of the universe would become a man and die on the cross because that's how much you mattered. So I don't care how your mama treating you, your daddy treating you, your cousins treating you, your auntie treating you, your uncle treating you, your mate treating you, your kids treating you, the God of the universe has said, you're valuable enough to die for in order to redeem. Another thing I want you to know is that a masterpiece typically bears the name of its creator. It's Handel's Messiah. It's Beethoven's Fifth. It's Michelangelo's David. So that when you see the masterpiece, you know who put it together. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You are Jesus's man. You are Jesus's woman. You're not just a woman. You're not just a man. You are created in Christ Jesus. You bear his name. And if you can change your name, ladies, when you get married, to identify with a human person, you ought not be ashamed to bear the name, wear the name, and share the name of the one who created you as a poema, as a masterpiece. You bear his name. You are his workmanship. An acorn may not look like much when you look at it, but you put that baby in the right soil and you're gonna wind up with an oak. When you look at it, it may not seem special. It may just seem like a nut you can crack and eat. It may seem like nothing, but put that baby in the right soil and give it the right time, and you got a monster on you, you got a beast on your hands. When God saved you, you may be an acorn now because he always starts us off as a seed. But you get that thing in the right soil. See, and that's what the devil, that's what the parable about sower and the seed is all about. The devil doesn't want the seed planted in the right soil so that the acorn never becomes an oak. He never wants you to reach your full potential. He doesn't want you to reach your destiny. He wants to keep you as a nut. Because sometimes you feel like a nut, and sometimes you don't. He wants to keep you from reaching the height. Because the psalmist says in Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 through 6, that God created you to rule. There is a sphere of responsibility that he has given you that's unique to you because you were created by him as this unique masterpiece. And so what Satan wants to do is rip you away from your unique identity. He never wants you to realize who you are in Christ. He'll be satisfied if you realize who you are in relationship to other people. Because now you're always comparing yourself. You know, am I better than her? Am I better than him? Can I keep up with her? And he will keep you focused on the Joneses so that you don't realize who you are in Christ. There's a man in our community named Billy Taylor. Let me tell you about Mr. Taylor. Mr. Taylor is known as a junkyard specialist. He finds stuff nobody else wants because it's in the junkyard. That means it's been discarded. It's been thrown away. So he'll collect pieces from the junkyard and take it to his garage. And he will take junkyard pieces in his garage and turn them into a contemporary art piece and sell it for $5,000. He goes to junk, redeems it, takes it to his garage, reworks it, and all of a sudden, something that was viewed by somebody else as worth nothing has now turned into a $5,000 contemporary art piece, because Mr. Taylor knows how to grab junk and turn it into something valuable and make out of junk a masterpiece. Now, I don't know where you were when God found you. I don't know what kind of situation you were in. But let me tell you about Mr. God. He knows how to visit the junkyard. Those who've been abused and misused and rejected and overcome with evil and sin and circumstances, and take you to his grace yard. He can take you from the junkyard to the grace yard and reconfigure that thing so that you wind up understanding you're not junk, you're a masterpiece created in Christ Jesus. Now, I know you may not be feeling it right now. Your circumstances may make you feel like I'm just a piece of junk right now. That may be how you feel. But right now, we're discussing what God says. And God says you are a poema. He's written a sonnet about you. Guys be lying all the time. You're so beautiful. They be writing poems and stuff, talking smack. God doesn't lie, the Bible says. He just said, you're a masterpiece. So if you look at yourself anything other than a masterpiece, you are lying to you. Because by two immutable things, the Bible says, it is impossible for God to lie. So he calls you a masterpiece. That is what you are. Now all you got to do is learn to live up to the title. So who are you? You are a masterpiece. Saved by grace. But why? We now know who you are. Let's learn why you are. He says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Why did he make you a masterpiece? Why did he save you and make you a poema, make you a masterpiece? He saved you and made you a masterpiece because he had something he wanted you to do. And it's called good works. Now, let me clarify the definition of the term. Good works is not the same as good things. You don't have to be a Christian to do a good thing. Sinners do good things all the time. Sinners build hospitals, do orphanages, they're philanthropists, they can be good neighbors. So you don't have to be a Christian to be a nice person or to do a good thing. But that's not the same as a good work. Let me define a good work in the Bible. The Bible uses this term all through the New Testament. A good work is a biblically consistent activity that benefits other people for which God gets the credit.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with more of our message. First, though, I want to remind you about a brand new resource we're making available right now, the Called for a Purpose devotional. It'll give you an inspiring reminder each day that you're a one-of-a-kind, handcrafted creation of God with a unique purpose chosen just for you. As you discover what it is, you'll start to see the pieces of your life fit together and experience a new sense of passion and fulfillment. For a few short days, we're offering a copy of the Called for a Purpose devotional as our thank you gift to those who support Tony's ministry with a contribution of any amount. On top of that, we'll also send you CDs of all 6 lessons in his current teaching series called Destiny, including material there isn't time to bring you on the air. So contact us right away and take advantage of this double offer before time runs out next week. Visit us at tonyevans.org or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Here's Dr. Evans once again with more of today's lesson.
God has left you here because he has a work he wants you to do. Now, again, there are certain things he wants all of us to do. He wants all of us to share our faith. He wants all of us to be good husbands and wives, to be productive in our lives. So there are general things all of us are supposed to do that are good. But there are specific things that has your name written on it that he wants you to do. That's why Jesus could say in John chapter 17, verse 4, I have finished the work you sent me here to do. He didn't send everybody to die on the cross. He sent Jesus to die on the cross. So Jesus says, the work you sent me here to do, I have completed. Paul, when it came time for him to die, says, I have kept the faith and I have finished my course. I finished what you sent me here to do. Well, we weren't all sent to do exactly what Paul was sent to do. Paul had an assignment that he was sent to do. You have an assignment. Something that God, we're calling it destiny, something that God has designated for you to complete within your course of your lifetime as a believer. You do not want to die with an unfinished painting or an unfinished sculptor or an unwritten completed poem, because you are his workmanship. And there is something he has for you to do that will be biblically consistent, will benefit other people, for which he will get the glory, and that's called a good work. That's called your destiny. Let me read to you Isaiah 46. And in Isaiah 46, we read in these two verses, verses 9 and 10, these words. Remember the former things long past. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done. Saying my purpose will be established and I will complete all my good pleasure. Now, pay a close attention. He says, I declare the end from the beginning. I declare I am God. I declare the end from the beginning in order that my good pleasure would be accomplished. So here it is. God starts at the end and works backwards. He declares the end from the beginning. You and I start at the beginning and work forward. Because time, day, a month, a year, we work forward. God declares where he's going to wind up. And then he backs up until time catches up to the end. How much time it takes you to get to where he's destined you is affected by you. But he has already determined your end. Now watch this. I am God. Beside me, there is none other. There is nobody but me. Now, you know what that means? That means that there is nobody you know who can stop your destiny but you. Because there's nobody else who's God. He says, I alone am God. And as God, I have the final say-so, and I have already declared where I want my purposes to wind up. So that means there's no human being that has the last say over your life. There's no circumstance that has the last say over your life. They may be powerful, but they ain't God. They aren't God, so they don't have the final say-so about your destiny. Only God is God, and only God has the final say-so about his purpose for you to take you from the physical realm in order that you may see what he has declared, what he has written, and he has already written the end. Okay? The book is over. The end. How do I know he's written the end? Simple. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So God has already written down your death date. He's written down when you're finished. The question is, will you have allowed time to catch up to the end of the story? Because when the end comes, the end comes. But the question is, will you have fulfilled the purpose that he has designed for you in the spiritual realm? For example, when a builder builds a building, he doesn't just start, he doesn't go get some wood and some nails and a hammer. The architect has already written out what the end of the story looks like. The architect has designed the building. So the builder sees where this thing is going to wind up, even though it hasn't been started yet. But because he sees where it's going to wind up, he knows what wood to get and what nails to get, what tools to get. He knows what to do because somebody has already written the story for him in the architectural design that God has already designed it for you. That's why he ends the verse where it says you got to walk in it. He doesn't do the walking for you. He does the design for you. You must walk in it. And when your walking catches up to his design, then you fulfill your destiny. But if you walk in another direction other than his design, then you are not fulfilling your destiny. And it's like you're on your own. It's like Jonah when he decided to go the other way that God intended. He was on his own. And so many of us are on our own, not headed toward our destiny because we don't recognize that we're masterpieces. And number two, because we don't submit or recognize that he alone is God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. The key word is own. There are general things that apply to us all. To be conformed to the image of Christ. That applies to all believers. But when it comes to the specific design or destiny he has, I must work that out myself. Nobody can do that for you. People can assist you and teach you and guide you and counsel you and all that, but they can't replace you. They can't walk it for you. You must walk it, and that must be your decision because it's your feet. You must walk in it. Now, let me tell you the secret. If you do not walk in what God has revealed, you will not see what he wants to reveal. If you are not walking what he has revealed, you will not see, like he told Martha, he said, when Lazarus died, he said, remove the stone. She said, but he's been dead 4 days and he stinks. Jesus said, I didn't ask you for a lesson in mortuary science. You will not see what I'm going to do after you remove the stone until you remove the stone. Until you walk in what I told you, you won't see what's next. See, a lot of us want to say, I want to see what's next, and then God, I'll tell you if I walk. But God said, no, you must walk by faith, not by sight. So you respond to what I told you, and then I'll show you what's next. Okay? So that's where the faith walk comes in. God has created you. He's crafted you for a purpose. You know, he gave Adam an assignment. He said, here's the garden and I want you to tend it. That's your assignment. He gave him a specific task to do. You know what the devil did? Mess up the assignment. That's the devil's job. He wants to mess up the assignment so you don't fulfill the assignment, so you have to get booted out of the garden. He wants to mess up the assignment by getting us to act independently of God. And when you act independently of God, which is the great sin in the Bible, to act independently of God, to keep God's name and hang out with church and all that, but to live my life independently of him. If the devil can get you to do that, he can get you to detour your life illegitimately so that you come to the end of the life not being able to say, I'm finished. You have a destiny. And it's not just to live and to eat and to have fun and to, you know, do all the nice stuff that life, nothing wrong with that, but that your destiny will always be something biblically consistent that benefits others, for which God gets the glory, for which you have been uniquely crafted to do. Israel was told your destiny is the promised land, but because they refused to walk by faith, they wandered and died in the wilderness, not realizing their destiny. Not reaching the place God had designated for them to be. That leads us to whose you are, finally. I want you to know whose you are, because that's critical to this. Notice what verse 10 says. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in it. His, Christ Jesus, God prepared. Have you ever bought something expensive, an appliance, a television or something, and you bought it and you came home and it didn't work or didn't work right? You know how frustrating that is? To buy something, particularly if it costs you a pretty penny, and you get home and it don't work. You are evangelically frustrated. You know why you're so frustrated? because of the price you paid to get it. You see, if you paid a high price, you expect it to work right. It is unfortunate that Jesus has paid this higher price and he can't get his folk to work right. You know, another frustrating thing, to buy something expensive and it works sometimes. You feel like working today, you don't feel like working tomorrow. You feel like working today, would you be happy with a refrigerator that felt like cooling today but didn't feel like cooling tomorrow? A stove that felt like cooking today and didn't feel like cooking tomorrow? A can opener that felt like opening a can today and then the next day is yawning, talking about I ain't in the cans today. A toaster that pops up the bread and pops up one bread. You got four things in there, just the other three don't want to come up right now. You wouldn't be happy with that. You know why? Because the price you paid expected a performance that would respond to the tag, to the price that was paid. Do you and I understand the price paid? Jesus Christ died on the cross for good works, not for you to decide to be a Christian sometimes. You know what God is saying? You are my workmanship. I have the right of way. You're on the on-ramp. Adjust to me. Or as Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. When you adopt that mentality, not my will, but thy will be done, now you are his workmanship. I know everybody wants to say, God bless me. And that's okay to ask God to bless you. But what God wants to know is, can he bless you in his will? Are you willing to say, God, I don't understand it. I may not even like it, but because you're God, you know more than I know, I will merge into your will and see where he takes you.
But what if you've been on the main road for too long? Can you ever get too lost to find your way back? Dr. Evans will return with a comment about that in just a moment. And if you've never made the decision to follow God in the first place, all that can change for you today. Just log on to TonyEvans.org, click on the menu, and follow the link that says Jesus. There, he'll talk about what it means to be a real Christian. There are even some free resources to help get you started. Drop by TonyEvans.org today and check it out. In the meantime, today's lesson was titled Your Uniqueness and Your Destiny, part of Tony's series called Destiny, Let God Use You Like He Made You. As we've been learning, God's got an agenda for your life, a custom-designed calling that'll give you the deep sense of satisfaction that comes from making a real difference. These six messages will help you discover your special assignment from God and set a course toward accomplishing it. And remember, they're yours as our gift when you make a donation, any donation, to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with it, you'll get the Called for a Purpose daily devotional I told you about earlier. But this double offer ends next week, so don't wait. Request it online today at TonyEvans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where someone on our resource team is waiting to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Worship is designed to be something we give to the Lord, but Dr. Evans says we get a lot out of it too, including insight into our God-given destiny. I hope you'll be back with us when he explores that connection next week. Right now, though, he's back with his final word of encouragement for today.
Now, you can't go back to yesterday. You got to start where you are. But if you'll start where you are, even as you see, when you get off on the wrong exit, you don't just stay off. You get off on the wrong exit, well, let me just keep going. If you lost, you don't try to be loster. Once you're lost and you find out you're lost, you want to work your way back to the main road so you can get on the highway to destiny. And if you will get on the main road, God will take you to where you need to go, even though you may have lost time.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.